Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Spurs Up Show, best Gamecocks podcast on the internet. Today's Monday, June the 7th, 2021. Today's show, I break down what happened over the weekend as the Gamecocks season comes to a close in the Columbia Regional as South Carolina wins game one against Virginia 4-3, but then falls on Saturday and then Sunday 2-1 to Old Dominion Saturday night and 3-2 to the Virginia Cavaliers in yesterday's game. Guys, I'll break down the weekend as it was, key takeaways, TSUS regional MVP, also slap dig of the weekend, who's hot and who's not, as again the Gamecocks 2021 baseball season comes to a close in the Columbia Regional. Guys, we've also got your listener questions. We've got a packed show here on a Monday, and it's all brought to you by our friends over at Upstate Movers Group. Guys, Upstate Movers Group, superior moving service. They bring care and attention the companies can't offer because they're just too busy maintaining trucks and profiting off of them instead of focusing on service. Guys, service is what separates Upstate Movers Group from the competition. They're not a trucking company. They're a moving services company, and they're also employee-owned co-op. The movers are paid twice the industry average, and everyone on the crew is invested in your success. They have dedicated professional crew members, and they also offer black glove service. They offer end-to-end packing services, custom creating and packaging for special items, and cleaning services as well. Gamecock owned small business. They also offer 20 years of project management moving experience, and they can offer logistics and solutions that traditional moving companies simply do not have the skills for. Guys, whether in the upstate or across the state of South Carolina, if you have any moving needs in 2021, be sure to check out our friends over at Upstate Movers Group. You can find them on social media at Upstate Movers Group, or of course, if you have any other questions, go to their website, upstatemoversgroup.com. That's upstatemoversgroup.com. Be sure to check them out and tell them Chris from the Spurs Up Show sent you. Let's get it. Pain. I feel pain. I'll be honest with you guys. I feel pain, and we're going to get through this one together here on this Monday. But yeah, pain is what I feel. Guys, again, hope you're all doing well. Appreciate you all tuning in Monday, June the 7th, 2021. And guys, I'll be totally honest with you. This is probably one of the toughest shows that I've ever done to this point in my time doing TSUS. And, you know, I we'll start on a positive first. Again, appreciate you all tuning in, guys. Thank you all so much for the love and support. And I'll tell you this, going back to Thursday at Halls with Cox by 90 and I's events at Halls to the Friday game against Virginia, Saturday, our tailgate, just being at the ballpark all week. And I want to say first off, thank you all so much for making this a special weekend. You know, I said this multiple times this weekend, and I'll say it yet again. Despite the outcome, this weekend truly felt like a dream. I mean, I looked around a couple of times and had to pinch myself. I was like, is this real? You know, it was incredible. And I can't say enough good things. You know, I cannot say enough good things. And you think back to all the moments, and we're going to have, by the way, guys, this week's schedule, which I'll get into in just a second, the content schedule. Well, actually, I'll tell you guys right now, the content schedule for this week, obviously today's show breaking down what happened the weekend. You guys already know we've been diving into football. We've been doing our 2021 opponent preview series, breaking down the teams the Gamecocks will play this upcoming football season. Of course, we will do those Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of this week. So there will be 5 podcasts yet again this week. Thursday's show will be our big gear and review season recap. We'll hand out grades. We will hand out awards for the season, all that good stuff. So kind of the season wrap-up show for Gamecocks baseball for you on Thursday. But again, I just wanted to start out and say thank you to everyone. So many great moments from this season, from the Scythe to the Reaper to Slapdick to Rowdy Roosters to, Yardcocks baseball to just moments that I'm probably leaving out. But what a season. What a season it was. And, of course, it comes to a close yesterday. But I want to start off this show, like I said, on a positive, because we can be upset. We can, call for people's jobs and we can say this guy stinks or that person stinks. But I'll be honest, guys, right now, and there'll be plenty of time to dissect and criticize and critique. Right now, I'm just kind of sad. I'll be honest with you. I'm just sad it's over. You know what I mean? Like I said, when you invest the time like that and you're at the ball field every single day, and I know some people just casually tune into Gamecocks baseball, and that's totally fine. That's totally fine. I have no issues with that whatsoever. But it definitely hits different, when you're there each and every single step of the way. You know what I mean? We've kind of lived it through these guys, how this season went and what they went through. And again, the successes, but the downfalls as well. It's just crazy, man. It's sad. It's crazy that it's over. I can't believe that it's over. But it is. And the Gamecocks falling to Virginia yesterday, 3-2 to close it. Again, guys, we're going to recap. We're going to break down this Columbia Regional. South Carolina plays three games, winning one of the three. They win the first one in a thriller, 4-3, which, by the way, all three of these, which you hear the sound of my voice, by the way, the tailgate on Saturday and the game also got the best of yours truly, which, hey, you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way, because you know what it means? It means I gave Old Dominion and I gave Virginia hell this weekend. I did my part with the Rowdy Rooster. So I guess I'd have it no other way. But, three thrilling games, man. 3 1-run games, 4-3. You win on Friday, which incredible atmosphere. I'll say that too. The Rowdy Roosters were insane. They were incredible. You guys were fantastic. I mean, the tailgate Saturday, you guys will see it on the vlog this week. The tailgate Saturday was unlike anything I think I've ever experienced. I mean, I've been to some big time tailgates for football there will be plenty upcoming this fall, I'm sure. But that was as good of a tailgate as any I've been to. Just the passion, the energy, the electricity, and then the electricity inside Founders Park Saturday night was as good as you're going to see in college baseball, and as good as we've seen in Columbia in years. In years, it was fantastic. So a kudos and a congratulations and a round of applause is much deserved to the Rowdy Roosters. And you guys showing up, showing out, being early, being loud, and making life hell for the opponent. But I mean, guys, you look at all three games and three really well played baseball games. And I know some of you won't agree with me, and that's totally fine. And I understand that fans, they want something or someone to blame when things don't go their way. In the game of baseball, sometimes you beat the opponent and sometimes the opponent beats you. And sometimes you go out and play and today's your day and tomorrow's not your day. But that's not good enough for fans. When you lose, they need to blame someone. They need to say, fire the hitting coach, fire Skylar Mead, fire Mark Kingston. Oh, this person stinks. This person doesn't know what they're doing. Nobody can just tip their cap. Most fans cannot just say, we just got beat. We just got beat flat out. And we all know what the issue is, right? We know what it is. It's certainly not pitching. The hitting issues were glaring all season, and you simply did not get enough, out of your hitters offensively to, make it any further than you did. And, I think there were talented hitters in this lineup, but there just wasn't enough consistency and explosiveness, because you're just putting your pitchers in a position where they have to be damn near perfect. And when you keep asking that out of them time and time and time again, the other team's trying to win too. They're trying to hit as well. They're trying to win the ball game. And you're just, the margin for error is so small when you have the offensive inconsistencies that the Gamecocks faced all season. And again, it was glaring this weekend as well. That Friday game against UVA, incredible. This team fought all weekend, by the way. That was the thing that really, really irked me that I saw on Saturday after South kind of lost to Old Dominion. People saying, oh, the Gamecocks laid an egg. They lost 2-1 in a hard-fought baseball game when Old Dominion is the number one seed in the regional. They did not lay an egg. They did not lay an egg, guys. They didn't go out there and get beat 10-0 and look uninspired and didn't want to be there. These guys fought tooth and nail each and every single pitch. To say they laid an egg, it's just, it's a lazy ass take is what it is. It's lazy. It's ridiculously lazy, and it's a stupid take, and it's silly, and it's disrespectful to everybody that put on that jersey and that uniform and played that game and played all weekend. It just is. It's flat out ridiculous. So if you're in that camp, I got nothing for you. This isn't your show. I'm not your guy. I'm just not your guy, flat out. So, but again, that Friday game against UVA, incredible. Had all the dramatics. You know, Josiah Seitler, the big knock. Colin Burgess, the big RBI. But you saw it then, right? And I'll tell you this, to overcome what Brett Carey dealt with his neck injury and, you know, of course, what your bullpen did, which we're going to talk about them more in just a second, but what your bullpen did this weekend, incredible. The pitching was there all year. The pitching was there all year. And I'll say this too, Skylar Meade, he's another one that gets a lot of criticism and a lot of heat. And guys, I have no issue with that, by the way. I want to make that very clear. I have no issue with fans critiquing paid professionals who are paid to coach baseball. Hey, have at it. But if you're going to do that, because I've critiqued Mark Kingston before, I've critiqued Skylar Meade before, but you have to keep that same energy all the way around. Give credit when credit's due. Hey, give Skylar Meade credit for the work he did with the pitching staff this year, because that pitching staff was fantastic. And it was fantastic yet again this weekend. You give 8 runs in 3 games. What more could you ask from your pitchers? What more could you ask? Honestly. So you have that big win in game one, but of course, 2-1 Saturday night and then 3-2 to UVA. Just not enough of the plate. I guess we could dissect this thing a million ways, but when you simply boil it down to it and you get to the root of the problem and what the real issue is, I think we all know what it is, and that's hitting. And, you know, the first thing fans go to is, oh, fire the hitting coach. Fire the hitting coach. And, you know, I get it, man. Like I said, they're paid professionals, and when you hit sub-250 as a team, that is a pretty fair criticism and whatever coming out. But immediately following the game, and again, this is still pretty fresh. I mean, we're just a couple of hours after South Carolina's loss to UVA. And I'll be honest with you guys, I did my post-game video. It started pouring rain after that game, that UVA game. And, I live close enough to the stadium. I've walked every game this season. It's very, very close to where I live, and I'll leave it at that. I walked home in the pouring rain, and it just was like, you know what, this is fitting. this weather matches my mood. It really does. And, you know, just fitting. So the everything is amplified in the postseason. Everything's got to be a little bit sharper. Everything's got to be a little bit better. And bottom line is you had opportunities. You had opportunities all weekend long. You had guys, runners in scoring position. You had situations where, and you know what I felt like too? I felt like you never really got, you know, you were a team that depended on the long ball so much over the course of the season, and you just never really got that timely home run. I mean, there were a couple, I guess what, Brennan Malone's big one. That was a huge one on Sunday in that 7th inning, which I want to get to in just a second. But you had Malone's, you had Wes Clark hit one. But I mean, other than that, you just did not have that big knock, you know, and that finale, that Sunday game yesterday against UVA. I mean, again, guys, people can critique, and which, you know, by the way, it's just exhausting. Like immediately after the game, guys, like I said, I was sad and I still am. I'm sad. That's the state of feeling I'm in. I'm not outraged. I'm not kicking, screaming, yelling. I'm kind of sad, and I'm sad that it's over, you know, like, and it's hard for me to comprehend and process that. Wow. This season is over. You know what I mean? This season's over. I'm just not in a state of mind where I want to kick and scream and fuss and yell and raise hell and say, fire that one and fire this one. And all. I'm just tired. You know what I mean? I'm mentally exhausted. I'm probably physically exhausted a little bit too, but no, I'm just mentally exhausted. And You know, the weekend was a grind. You know, I'll tell you this, that seventh inning of yesterday's game, I mean, that Joe Satterfield liner, where that was a double play, that is one of the ultimate bad breaks you will ever see in a baseball game. I mean, I've never seen something like that. Certainly never seen a double play like that. And I know people said, oh, he meant to drop it. Listen, guys, I hate UVA, and I wanted this to win too, but he didn't mean to drop it, man. That ball I've pitched, that ball was laced back, and he's just trying to not get killed there. So, you know, I don't think he meant to drop it by any means. But I really think you had him there. You know, you had first and second. We were all over that pitcher they had in there, and it just was not meant to be. You know, when something happens like that, that's the baseball God saying, you know what, it's not meant to be for you. You don't deserve to win. You know, there's no rhyme or reason. That's not coaching. That's not, you know, and I definitely said on social media, hey, I dropped the bunt, but I understand not doing it in the sense of, you know, the way you are swinging it, you know, the way you're swinging it, I totally get not putting the bunt down. You know, I get it. And it's just unfortunate that you ran into that situation where you had all the momentum and first and second, nobody out. And that happens. So, you know, like I said, guys, everything is amplified in the postseason. Everything's got to be a little bit sharper, a little bit better, a little bit more crisp. And I thought this team showed up to play. Again, there were no eggs laid. Nothing like that. There were no eggs laid by anybody. But, you know, when you are as inconsistent as the Gamecocks were offensively, and you struggle as much as South kind of does at the plate, you basically tell your pitchers and your pitching staff, hey, you've got to be perfect. You have to be perfect. There's no margin for error for you. You know, and we have, and I'm going to talk about this a lot more on the Thursday show because I want some time to kind of process some things and really put the show together. Like I said, we're going to do a full season recap and review awards show as well. So it's going to be kind of a mix. It's going to be a long show Thursday. We're going to do an awards show and also a season recap and review. And we're going to talk about things that stood out as far as positives, negatives, you know, biggest issues for this team to solve going forward. Because I'll tell you one thing, I've told my buddies this a couple of times throughout the season. I've told them a couple of times that we, and I understand why fans feel this way. I do. Don't get me wrong. I 100% understand it. But we have got to get out of this mindset, this mentality, and this overall vibe and feeling when, you know, when we fall down 1-0 or 2-0 in a ball game, fans are like, oh, game's over. We can't score. Like, I mean, and again, I totally understand why fans feel that way, but we all know what the issue is that has to be solved. If this was a team, if you were hitting 280 as a team this year, this is an Omaha team. It's not even close. Not even close. I mean, one of the best pitching staffs you've had in years in Columbia. So you got to figure out the bats, man. You got to figure it out offensively. You know, you can't have a shortstop hitting 190. You know, you can't have some of your biggest contributors hitting 240. You know what I mean? Do you need to raise the level in regards to the ceiling or raise the floor? I think raising the floor is more important. But also, again, you know, you don't have a single guy in your lineup that's hitting over 300. I mean, that can't happen. There's too many good players at South Carolina for something like that to happen. And, guys, I'll be honest with you. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Is it mechanical? Is it philosophical? You know, because again, I just think to myself, people say fire the hitting coach. I'm like, they're not coaching them to not get hits, guys. Right? I just think it's funny. Like when people want the hitting coach fired, do they even know what the hitting is? Mark Kingston's the main hitting guy. So what are you basically just saying? Fire Kingston, which if you are, that's your right. You're entitled to your opinion, but I can't get on board with you there. The man has had 4 years and three seasons in Columbia, and he's made the postseason 2 out of 3. Hey, you miss the postseason next year? I got some major issues. That's a huge red flag. Hey, you hit 250 again next year? I hear you. But you solve nothing. You solve nothing by firing Mark Kingston. Nothing. You don't solve any of your problems. You don't. So, you know, I think for people to say, oh, he's the Will Muschamp of baseball. Like, get out of here, bro. Get out of here with that. Come on. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's issues that got to be fixed. This wasn't a perfect team this year. It wasn't a perfect season. It wasn't a perfect weekend by any means. But, you know, you played 3 one-run ball games. And unfortunately, you came out on the wrong side of two of them, you know. And, again, we all know what the issue is. You got to swing it. You got to swing it. So, I mean, like I said, guys, this is one of the toughest shows I've ever done. You know, a little bit of loss for words. I mean, it's just sad. It's just I'm just sad. It's over. And, you know, again, it was a hell of a weekend. There's no question. And first time, obviously, that was the first postseason baseball I've watched in Columbia since 2012. So that experience was unreal. It was amazing. And like I said, I appreciate you all making it so special. I truly do. I truly, truly do, man. You guys have no idea how much it means. And I'm sure by now you guys have seen, I've already said something on social media thanking everybody and all that, but I can't say it enough. I just genuinely can't. I can't say thank you all enough to the Gamecocks baseball players, coaches, you know, everyone involved with South Carolina baseball. Hey, the parents too that reached out. I mean, the fans at all the games and just everyone, social media, of course, everyone that took even a second out of the last 3.5, 4 months, whatever it is to consume the content, share the content, show love to the content, and just rock with us this baseball season. I cannot say thank you enough. I really can't. I mean, it was just an incredible ride, and, you know, I really appreciate you guys being a part of it. So let's move into TSUS Regional MVP, guys. And this kid, I really want to highlight this kid because what a weekend he had. You know, he was my game MVP on Friday, and I talked about this South Carolina bullpen and just how good they were for the Gamecocks the weekend, which I'm going to get more into them in just a second because we're going to go through who's hot, who's not, and I want to talk more about that. But the TSUS Regional MVP for the Columbia Regional for the Gamecocks is right-handed pitcher Danny Lloyd. Danny, 6 innings pitched, 2 hits, 0 runs, 0 earned runs, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. And this one's special, guys. This one's special for many reasons. Number one, Danny was fantastic this weekend. The stuff was really good. I mean, the fastball is electric. He located the slider, and his stuff's good enough. Even with just those two pitches, I mean, if he's in the zone, which he was all weekend, he's as good as any reliever you'll see in the SEC. But I think it was really cool to watch because I remember back 2019 when Danny Lloyd was just a young freshman who was thrust into game action when he wasn't ready. You know, he was thrust into a starting role. You know, you guys remember when Carmen Majinski went down and the Gamecocks were just shuffling and Danny Lloyd had to start on a Friday and you're just like, God almighty, like this poor kid, he's just getting thrown to the wolves already. So to see his development and see the type of pitcher he has become and to see him pitch on that stage. And you know what I loved about watching Danny Lloyd, man, is just cool, calm, and collected. I mean, he looks like a guy, you know, and I say this in a very respectful way, and I think baseball people will know what I mean, but he almost looks like he doesn't care in a sense. He's that relaxed. Like he is cool as a cucumber. Like nothing gets under his skin out there. Like he looked just, you wouldn't know if he's up by 10 or down by 10, or if he's throwing well, if he's throwing terrible. It's just relaxed, just cool, feeling good. And he was incredible. He was incredible both game one and game three. I mean, I'm sure Virginia wants no more of Danny Lloyd if they got anything to say about it. But again, Danny Lloyd, TSUS Regional MVP. Again, the number, 6 innings pitched, 2 hits, 0 runs, 0 earned, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. Absolutely fantastic stuff from the Somerville product. Let's move into Slapdick of the Weekend, guys. And I don't want to spend ton of time on this, but I mean, it's not even close. The Slapdick of the Weekend's the umpires, the umpiring crew. I oh my goodness. I hate to be that person because I don't like it either when you lose a game and fans are just complaining about the refs and complaining about umpire, and that's just like all they're doing. But man, like you just can't help it, man. It's just so many atrocious calls that, you know what kills me? To hell with me being a South Carolina fan. And I'll be, damn me and what I want to happen for my team or whatever. But, like, it's about the kids on the field. And you're taking the bat out of their hand. You're taking the game out of their control. You know, of course, the Andrew Eister check swing I mean, that's the one that really jumps out to you. And that situation, guys, that's just an umpire wanting to be the moment. That's all. That is the same thing as a referee in basketball when he calls that offensive, that charge or whatever. And he does all the dramatics and the crowd goes crazy. Like, he just wants to be the moment. He wants them to be the moment. And that's exactly what that umpire did. You know, huge spot in the game, second and third. You got one out, 2-2 count. Just completely take the bat out of the kid's hands and don't even give, let them play. Let them determine the damn game on the field. You know, you should not be taking the moment like that from the kid, Hey, the zone on Sunday. I mean, it just all weekend long, man. It's terrible. There's no other way to put it. It's just terrible. Flat out terrible. Terrible. As bad as that call Saturday night was, as bad as I have ever seen. I mean, it was as bad as I've ever seen in a baseball game. Truly, truly. I'm not over exaggerating. That was, I couldn't even, but he budged. He budged. Wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. So unreal, just unreal bad. Will anything be done? Can anything be done? Probably not, but just god awful. I mean, it's really all you can say. All right, let's move to who's hot, who's not, guys. We're going to start with who's hot, and I talked about him earlier, but, Danny Lloyd being a part of that Gamecocks bullpen. And what a job this bullpen did. 13 and a third innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 run, 1 earned, 4 walks, and 15 strikeouts. And, again, you feel for him, right? You feel for him. You feel for the pitching staff. You feel for the pitching staff because they did everything they could. They did everything they could. 8 runs in 3 games, guys. That's getting the job done, Another guy I didn't mention that needs to be mentioned, Thomas Farr. What an outing from him Saturday night. I mean, for all the hell he's caught this year, I mean, that was the best version of Thomas Farr that we've seen. And I thought he was phenomenal. I thought he was fantastic. Was he his absolute best, I guess? No, but I thought he was incredible. I thought he spun it beautifully and deserved a much better fate than he got, as Mark Kingston said in the postgame. Another situation where he deserved to win the ballgame. And it didn't happen, It didn't happen. And, when you lose that Saturday night game, when you lose that game too, and you got to go to the loser's bracket, you pretty much lose the regional at that point. So, just tough, tough result for him, but the bullpen, incredible. Like I said, incredible. Feel good about the future of this pitching staff. A lot of good young arms. Will be interesting to see who comes back, who leaves. But recruiting's good. And I think the Gamecocks pitching staff, I think it's going to continue to give you a chance, man. I think going into next season and beyond, I think Sal Khan is going to be able to recruit well enough. And Skylar Meade has proven he's one of the best up and coming young coaches in college baseball. I think he does a fantastic job with that pitching staff. I have no doubts about him at all, and I think they're going to continue to do great things. But, a fantastic weekend from the bullpen, man. Like I said, 13 and third innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 run, 1 earned run, 4 walks, and 15 strikeouts. I mean, you simply just could not ask for more out of that group of dudes. Let's move into who's not. Who's not? It's got to be situational hitting. I could just say hitting overall, but, 35 strikeouts on the weekend, 20 runners left on base, and you lost the 3 games by a combined 3 runs. I mean, there you go. That's it. That's the tail of the tape, man. And, like I said, everything in the postseason is amplified, right? Everything. Every little detail, situation. It's like I told you guys before, right? There's going to be 4 or 5 moments in each and every game that you're going to look back at it. It goes one way or the other. That's going to be the difference. And you win in the ballgame. And, we think back. There were certainly moments and situations where the Gamecocks, had runners on or were threatening, or they just could not get that big knock, that big breakthrough hit. And it cost them. And those things come back to really, really bite you in the postseason and against good baseball teams. And, that was the case. That was the case this past weekend. So, again, who's not? Most certainly the situational hitting. Again, 35 strikeouts and 20 runners left on base this weekend. All right, let's move into your listener questions, guys. Of course, they all revolve around the Columbia Regional and what happened over the weekend. So we'll start with Matt underscore Vanderwagon, who says, how many more times do we have to shit the bed for Ray Tanner to be held accountable? Krusty Andy, overall grade for the baseball season. He also says most improved player. Krusty Andy, those questions will be answered on Thursday's show. I want some time to kind of sit down and really look at the statistics and look over the season and hand out those accolades, those awards, if you will, accordingly. So that will be the Thursday show. We'll have a full breakdown, recap, award show, all that good stuff when it comes to this 2021 baseball season. Crawford Clark 2756, should the university consider a new baseball coach? Oh, God. Dale.Reeves.353, after seeing the tournament this weekend, what changes would you make? I mean, here's the thing, guys. Are we going to get a new hitting coach? Probably not. I'll be honest. You know what changes I'd make? I'd just go recruit good players. You need to go recruit two or three more big-time bats and a couple more power arms. You're not that far off, guys. Gamecocks baseball is not like light years away from being where they want to be, by the way. I want to make that very clear. This is a program that's not that far off. You're only missing a couple of pieces. You know, so for anybody who acts like, oh, my God, we're just such a painfully average team, we're below average, that's just simply not the case. It's just not. Let's see. Head full of vinyl. Well, good season. Not what we wanted, though. Who's leaving? Who's staying? Who's coming in? Again, those questions, I will try to answer some of those on Thursday, but some of those we're not going to know for a little bit. You know, we're not going to know who's staying, who's leaving, you know, who, depending on where guys get drafted, if they come back, I mean, who knows? So only time will tell. Only time will tell. Austin G underscore 45 says, it hurts that we lost, but it feels like Kingston has this program on the right track. Your thoughts? I mean, I think so, too. I think he does. You know, I think you're missing a couple of key pieces, but I think the program is in a good place. I have no concerns where the program is right now. Austin G also says, also, we're a few runs away from a completely different outlook in the season and the regional. Yeah, absolutely. JK Gill 34, we lose a lot from this team. I don't know if we can be better next year. What do you think? I mean, listen, we lose guys, but, you know, the lineup's going to look a lot different, I think. I think most likely you're going to lose a good bit from your lineup. And there's a good chance it's going to look different, you know, which isn't a bad thing. You know, with the way you hit, who knows, you know? So how much worse at the plate can you get? But, you know, this program, the team next year, will have its own new set of challenges. You know what I mean? Like each and every single team does. So it's counter baseball, man. You don't rebuild, you reload. And like I said, I think with the recruiting, you see how the classes go. We're top five, top 10 every single year. We'll bring in more than capable guys who I think can do the job and get us back to this point, and I think even further. So, Connor.McIntyre, do you think they should have left far in going in the last inning or two of the Old Dominion game? Yeah, I know that's something that was debated, and I would have probably pulled Thomas Farr, you know, because here's the thing. He did his job, you know. He did his job for you. And asking to go back out there in the eighth inning and try to stretch that much out of him, you know, he's already done what you asked him to do. You know what I mean? Like, why should he have to do that? You know, I guess is my question. But it is what it is. Hey, you want to give kids a chance to play and to pitch in those situations. And they've pulled him early a lot this season. So it is what it is, man. You make decisions. I know people want to critique Skylar Mead and get all over his ass. And, bro, you just got to hit better. And you should never be in that situation to begin with. So, you got to hit better. I thought Thomas Farr pitched his ass off. I mean, I got nothing but good things to say about Thomas Farr. So, let's see. Last question. B Weeks 10. What do we change to see better results at the plate next year? Like I said, back to what I said about recruiting, I think it's just simply getting big-time hitters in here. You know, I thought this lineup was very capable this year, but there's certainly some guys who, you know, there were some deficiencies, and I'll leave it at that. You know what I mean? Do I think you're going to see some wholesale approach change or, you know, some philosophical change? I don't think so. I don't think you are. I'd be surprised if you did. You know, people keep asking about the hitting coach. I'd be surprised if Kingston gave the boot to Stuart Lake or anybody for that matter. But you never know. I mean, you never know what they might do. But, I mean, whatever you do, whatever you do or don't do, we all know what the emphasis is going to be on next year, what it has to be. You got to be able to swing it. You have to. The game is too offensive now. You know, you're not going to win a lot of games 1-0, 2-1. You got to be able to swing the bats. You just have to. So that will be priority number one. I think you're going to have plenty coming back in regards to pitching to, you know, be dominant there yet again. But offensively, you got to swing it. You've got to swing it offensively, bottom line. So, yeah, that's a wrap, guys. As you probably noticed, no guest interview on today's show. You know, just felt like with baseball, really wanted to just make this show all about baseball. You know what I mean? And obviously with the time constraints and being so busy over the weekend and, you know, even busy Thursday, I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about trying to schedule an interview or anything like that. Just lock in on baseball. And so no guest interview today. We will return with them on Thursday. But no interview today, man. Like I said, in closing, that's going to wrap it up. That's going to do it. again, what a season. It was a hell of a ride. It was a hell of a ride. And I'm sure, you know, we'll touch on it a little bit more on Thursday. And, you know, we're not done talking about baseball or anything quite yet. But sad it's over. You know, I'm sad it's over. And so many days and nights and innings and pitches and spin at the yard, man. And it was special. It was very special. Like I said, all the great moments through the ups, the downs, through everything, guys. I appreciate y'all being there every single step of the way, rocking with the content, rocking with the shows. You know, I was talking about this last week before everything got going when I was asked by somebody, you know, oh, is this a big deal? Is it not a big deal? You know, are people excited for the regional? Are they excited for Carolina baseball? And I'm like, dude, our fan base is the best fan base in the entire country. And it's not even close. I mean, honestly, you know, our fans, South Carolina fans, were locked in, engaged, excited. I mean, like I said, Founders Park Saturday night was just a madhouse. It was insane. You know, it was insane. I was thinking to myself, man, like if Founders Park is like this, imagine Willie B. No, it was incredible, guys. And you know, I'm sure there are some schools out there that if there was somebody doing what I do, you know, and doing it full time, and you know, they might worry that going throughout baseball season, you know, they've got a fan base that's not that engaged and doesn't care and it doesn't move the needle for them. And it's you know, whatever, they're indifferent about it, right? And the numbers suffer and business suffers and all that. Guys, totally opposite for us. I mean, you guys made this a huge success personally, business-wise. I mean, just everything. I cannot say thank you, like I said, enough. I cannot say enough good things about Gamecock fans and Gamecocks baseball and the people surrounding Gamecocks baseball and the way they treated me. And like I said, that's what made it special. That's what makes it special is that really cool, like, bond, if you will. Again, like I said, I don't know if it's just the culture of baseball or what it is, but it was cool, man. Everything about this season was incredible. And I know it didn't end the way we all wanted, but hey, that's part of the game. That's part of the game. So no matter what happens, keep swinging it, keep throwing, keep grinding, keep fighting, battle, win anyway. Again, folks, hey, appreciate y'all tuning in again. Podcast 5 days this week. The Daily Crow, by the way. We will do that again 5 days, I believe five. We might take Friday off yet. I'm not 100% sure. But there will be some changes upcoming to content starting next week in regards to the amount of podcasts and the Daily Crow and things of that nature, you know, with baseball season coming to a full close. So I will keep you guys updated on that front. But again, we will cross that bridge when we get to it. Again, guys, thank you so much for all the love and support, man. It's incredible. Appreciate y'all rocking with us. Have a great rest of your Monday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.